1100 years ago, the greatest king in all the world was Charlemagne, king of France. And the bravest and boldest of all his knights was one called Roland. Now, this is the story of Roland as they told it and sang it many years ago. It begins when Roland is a boy of 12. Poorly dressed as any shepherd lad, he is standing on a hillside in Italy. With him is a boy dressed in silk and velvet, a nobleman's son, Oliver. Both Roland and Oliver are eagerly watching the road below.
Oliver, listen, a trumpet call. Aye, at last, Roland. And look, coming around the curve, the banners. Blue, red, gold. Oh, aren't they glorious?
Charlemagne's banners.
And there they come, all the knights and peers. Look how their armor reflects the sun.
Like a thousand dazzling mirrors.
Oliver, there. On the great white horse. Is that he? Is that Charlemagne?
That is one of the peers.
But there, Roland, on the black charger.
Of course, Charlemagne. Charlemagne himself.
Aye, Charlemagne, king of France, defender of the faith.
How proud and majestic he looks. His hair white as snow, his beard like a snowdrift. Oh, but the road turns again. He's gone.
And now, Roland, we must vow it again. One day, you and I will ride in that mighty company beside Charlemagne himself. Vow it with me, Roland.
Yes, Oliver. One day, you and I will be knights to Charlemagne and brothers in arms for all our lives.
Aye, brothers in arms for all our lives.
And now, I have to hurry home, Oliver. My mother bade me return as soon as I had seen Charlemagne. She said she had something of great import to tell me.
Tell me about it when we meet tomorrow, Roland?
Of course. Till then, farewell, Brother Knight.
Farewell, Brother Knight. Till tomorrow.
Aye, so they pledge each other, Roland and Oliver. But many tomorrows are to pass before they meet again. Listen, and you shall hear how his mother's words change the whole pattern of Roland's life.
Sit down, Roland, here by my knee. Now you have seen Charlemagne, it is fitting I tell you who you really are.
Who I really am? Mother, what do you mean?
Roland, surely you have guessed there is some mystery behind our long sojourn in this old hermit's cell. It is time you knew. I was born a king's daughter.
A king's daughter?
Aye. And a king's sister, too. But I loved a knight with whom my brother had quarreled unjustly. When I swore to marry him, my brother banished me from his court and his kingdom. We came here to Italy, where your father fought ever for the right. But then he was killed. And since I had sworn I would never go back to my brother begging, here we stayed, you and I.
Mother, this king, your brother, what was his name?
His name is Charlemagne.
Charlemagne?
You are Charlemagne's nephew.
And I thought Charlemagne the finest knight that ever the sun shone on.
I swore I would not go to him for myself, but you are a different matter. Charlemagne's nephew should not live and die a shepherd boy.
How dared he treat you this way? How dared he banish you?
Easy, my son. That is all past. Now we must plan how it would be best for you to approach Charlemagne. Perhaps tomorrow.
No, not tomorrow. Now.
Roland, what are you doing? Where are you going? Wait, you're only a boy.
I may be only a boy, Mother, but for cruelty like this, I do not fear to challenge the king himself. I'm going to Charlemagne now.
In the banquet hall of the governor's palace, Charlemagne and his knights rest and feast in splendor. Charlemagne sits on a dais. Beside him are Archbishop Turpin and Ganelon. Ganelon rises now, silver goblet in hand.
A toast, sire! A toast to sweet France!
Aye, Ganelon. Well spoken. A toast to France.
Hold! Hold, I say! Hold there, boy!
Hold. What's wrong there by the door?
I will see Charlemagne. Take your hands off me.
Why, it's some ragged peasant boy.
Come back here, rascal.
Watch whom you call rascal.
Why, he's a mere boy.
My lord, I would have this fruit and bread, that flask of wine, too, if you please.
Of all the audacity, he snatches food from the king's very table. Guard!
Hold, Ganelon. There's something amusing about this lad's boldness. So, my boy, you want a share of my table. Don't you think fruit from the trees, water from the brook, is more in keeping with your station?
The peasant drinks from the brook. But to my mother belong the best things your table affords, sire.
So, it is for your mother you wish them. She must indeed be a noble lady. Come, tell us how many servants she has. Who is her carver? Who is her cupbearer?
My right hand is her carver. My left hand, her cupbearer.
A proud answer, my lad.
My lord, may not the guard remove him now?
Peace, Ganelon. What is there about his face?
Perhaps, sire, my face reminds you of someone you loved once and wronged. Or have you forgotten you once had a sister?
The Lady Bertha? How know you of her?
She is my mother, sire.
Your mother? She lives? She is well?
Aye.
Oh, thanks be to heaven. Long have I sought for her to atone for my cruelty.
Is this true, sire?
Take me to your mother, lad, and you shall see I mean it. The Lady Bertha will be restored to her proper place in my household. And as for you, well, I could use a brave, proud lad like you as a page. Perhaps when your mother has forgiven me, you will not disdain to serve Charlemagne.
And so it is that Roland becomes a page in Charlemagne's court and leaves with the next day's dawning at Charlemagne's side for France. Swiftly the years fly by, and with each year, Roland learns more of the arts of knighthood. He learns to ride, to hunt. He learns to use the longbow, to use the lance and sword in jousting and in battle. And at last, a great day comes.
Kneel, Roland, with my naked sword I touch thee so on either shoulder, and in the name of God and Saint Michael, I dub thee knight. Be valiant, loyal, and true.
With all my heart I shall endeavor so to be, Your Majesty.
Rise, Sir Roland. Receive now from the holy Archbishop Turpin the sword which he has blessed for you.
Here, Roland, noblest gift of all. The bright sword Durandal.
Your Majesty, never did I dream of such a wonderful sword.
And see how it is inscribed. I am Durandal, which Trojan Hector wore.
You are indeed favored, Roland. When my son was knighted, no such treasure as this was brought forth. Ganelon, such words bespeak a jealousy unworthy of you. Your son was honored well. Thrice my son Basil proved himself in battle ere he was knighted, Your Grace. Charlemagne needs less proof for his nephew Roland. Come, sire, where is the great ivory horn of Charles the Hammer? Does not our splendid Roland receive that too?
The ivory horn?
No man since Charles the Hammer has been able to blow it. But that should not stop you where Roland is concerned.
Ganelon, I like not the spirit behind your words. Get the ivory horn from the armory. You shall see I do not favor Roland.
Indeed, sire, I will get it.
Roland, my nephew, there is but one way to wipe out Ganelon's jealousy. Do take this test. Try to raise a note from the ivory horn.
Gladly, sire.
Do not feel badly when you fail.
Yes, here is the ivory horn, my lord.
All right, Roland. If by a miracle you can blow it is yours. But not otherwise. Lift it to your lips.
That's right. Breathe deep, Roland. Even so, I rather doubt.
He blows it.
God's mercy. Oh, no. No, not this too.
All right, Roland, enough! I wouldn't have believed it, Roland. My ears still ring from the blast.
And mine.
Ganelon?
Oh, I. Let him have it.
It is yours, Roland. Only remember this. Never blow it, save in time of utmost need.
I will remember, sire.
Roland, oh, my son, this must be the happiest day of your life.
Surely it comes close, Mother. Only one thing is lacking.
Yes?
Remember, Oliver, Mother, we swore we would become knights together. Oh, if only Oliver were here to be my brother in arms. Will that part of my dream ever come true?
But Roland has small time for wondering where Oliver may be now. Now he must ride with Charlemagne and his army to besiege a great castle whose lord has defied the king. It is a long siege and hard. Neither side can win. Then one day, a messenger comes from the castle to Charlemagne, and now in his tent outside the castle walls, Charlemagne ponders the message he has brought.
Well, Ganelon, what think you of Count Gerard's proposal for ending this stalemate?
Surely Count Gerard jests with you, sire.
Hmm?
We have all the advantage in men and supplies. Why, in heaven's name, should we let the siege be decided by two knights meeting in single combat?
Aye, we have the men to triumph eventually, Ganelon. But at what a cost! This proposal could bring us victory today.
Gerard would not have proposed such a scheme if he did not have a brave knight to come forth and fight for him.
Aye, that is true. But with Roland to fight for us, how could there be any doubt of the issue?
Roland. Always Roland.
Oh, you have seen him in battle, Ganelon. There is no knight to match him. Where is he now? I would ask him if he will undertake to win the day for us by meeting Gerard's challenger.
Well, sire, since you ask, I shall tell you where I saw Roland last. He was near the castle walls, talking to a maiden who leaned out of a tower window.
What?
Aye, Roland may indeed be bold in battle, but if his heart is within the enemy walls, will you still trust him above all others?
Never would I have dreamed that one so fair was within these gray castle walls. Would you tell me your name, my lady?
My name is Alda, sir. Though why I tell you, I cannot think. We are enemies.
This siege will not last forever. And when it's over, I will return as friend, not foe, Lady Alda.
Sir Roland! Sir Roland!
Hark, someone calls. Aye, over here, lad.
Oh, Sir Roland! The king would speak with you at once. He wants you to meet a challenger from the castle in single combat to decide the siege this very day.
Well.
Oh, no. Are you to be Charlemagne's chosen knight?
My lady, why do you sound so fearful?
You'll be killed.
Never.
You will. You don't know. The challenger Gerard sends forth has never been defeated in combat. Oh, I should not care what happens to you, but my heart is full of fear. You cannot win this combat, sir.
Then today he tastes defeat at last. Now wish me well, Lady Alda, for the sooner he tastes it, the sooner I return to win your heart as you've won mine.
For a while, Roland's dream of someday finding his boyhood friend Oliver is forgotten. The siege against Count Gerard's castle is going to be decided by Roland meeting a knight from the castle in single combat. Roland has armed himself and taken up his bright sword Durendal. He mounts his brave horse and rides out to meet the challenger, a challenger who gives no name and whose face is hidden by his helmet, which bears a red plume. But was Lady Alda right? Is this unknown knight going to give Roland his first defeat?
At the first thrust, he has struck Roland from his saddle. But wait. The Roland's blow has also landed truly. The Knight of the Red Plume falls from his horse, too.
Now they've both risen to their feet and are rushing at each other, swords in hand.
Never have I seen such a fight. Thrust and parry. Never was there a knight so nearly Roland's equal. Roland uses every skill. Wait! The sword of the Red Plume Knight has broken in half. Roland has disarmed him. He has won.
Wait, sire. Look what's happened. Roland's sword has buried itself in the other knight's shield. They're both without weapons.
They're rushing at each other, weaponless, pushing back their helmets so as to see better. What now? They've both stopped still.
They simply stand and stare at each other.
What's amiss?
They are falling into each other's arms. Sire, have they both gone mad?
Oliver.
Roland.
I yield me, old friend.
And I yield me, Roland.
No wonder I could not vanquish you.
Nor I you. And thank heavens I couldn't, brother in arms.
Aye. Let Charlemagne and Gerard settle their quarrel how they will, while we renew our old vow, Oliver. Let us be brothers in arms from now on till we die.
And now Charlemagne and Gerard, with both their knights pledged to brotherhood, find that they too can make truce with each other. The siege is over at last. Now the king and Gerard hold high feast inside the castle, and Roland walks in the garden with the fair-haired maiden Alda.
Now to all the wonders of this wonder-filled day I add yet another. You, Lady Alda, are Oliver's sister.
Aye, and you are the same Roland whose praises I heard Oliver sing through many a year. It is indeed passing strange.
My lady, may I hope any good things Oliver has said of me will incline your heart to listen to my plea? I loved you the moment I saw you. Would you promise me your hand in marriage?
Yes, Roland, I will.
Oh, my dearest Alda.
Roland, are you out there?
Oliver?
I'm sorry, Alda. Roland, a messenger has just arrived from Spain. The pagans under King Marsilius have risen in all their might. They're advancing toward France, burning churches and shrines as they come.
Oh, no, no.
What is Charlemagne's order? When do we ride to strike them down?
At once. Come, Roland. We ride together at last.
And so Charlemagne's host sets off for Spain. Many are the adventures Roland and Oliver have on the long journey to Spain. And then, many and fearful are the battles they fight when they meet the pagans at last. But with Roland and Oliver setting an example for bravery, victory comes at last. Now King Marsilius sues for peace. But alas, it is Ganelon whom Charlemagne has sent to arrange the final terms of the truce. Ganelon, who has hated Roland for years.
Charlemagne's terms are harsh, King Marsilius. He wants tribute that will beggar you and your people for years.
I cannot believe it, Sir Ganelon. Charlemagne is known for his generosity in victory.
Perhaps it is the influence of his nephew, Roland, King Marsilius. At the council, it was Roland who said you should be bled white of tribute.
And Charlemagne took Roland's advice?
As he does in everything.
Roland, why wasn't he killed in battle?
I wondered myself. But if you are interested sufficiently, King Marsilius, perhaps there is still a way to remove Roland's influence.
I am interested to the tune of as much gold as you desire, Sir Ganelon. What have you in mind?
Tomorrow, Charlemagne and the army start back for France, across the Pyrenees. I remember a valley in those mountains, perfect for ambush.
Sir Ganelon, I have just been defeated by Charlemagne and his army, even attacking from ambush.
My lord, I was not dreaming you should attack the whole army. But the rear guard which follows the host is a very small group of knights. If Roland should be left to guard the rear, and you had 1,000 men in ambush, well...
Ah, I see your meaning, Ganelon. Will Roland be left to guard the rear?
Leave that to me, King Marsilius. I will arrange that Roland guards the rear.
Well, Archbishop Turpin, I myself am glad now to be riding along in the rear guard with such good company as you and Oliver. But why does Oliver keep talking treachery, riding on ahead to spy out the land?
Oliver loves you, Roland. He sees Ganelon is jealous of you, and...
Roland, on
guard, up ahead, an ambush.
It's Oliver.
What is he saying?
An ambush, Roland. Hearken to me, Archbishop. There are 1,000 pagans at least, hidden in among the trees in that valley up ahead. I knew it. I knew Ganelon plotted something. He wants you killed, Roland.
1,000 pagans? And how many are we?
100. Oh, we can never hold them off. Roland, your ivory horn. Blow it now. Charlemagne and the army are not so far ahead in the mountains, but they would hear and return to save us.
Are we children to cry for help? No, Oliver. When Charlemagne gave me this horn, I promised to blow it only in time of utmost need.
This is the time, Roland. Oh, tell him so, good Archbishop. Tell him we'll all be killed if he does not blow the horn.
It would not be cowardice, my son.
I deem it so. Let us rally the knights, Oliver. We'll take our stand on the hill, there. And if they'll have our lives, we'll sell them dear.
Roland, my son, it goes badly with us. Look about you. Hardly a dozen of our men still alive.
10 times as many of them are slain, good father. Ah, here comes another. There! For France! For Charlemagne! And another is down.
Aye, but still.
Roland, old friend. Oliver, what is it? You're wounded.
Look, his armor is pierced at the heart.
Oliver, my friend. Oh, I'll call for help at once. I'll blow my horn for Charlemagne.
No, we've stood this long.
But you're wounded. Charlemagne will come. I'll blow till the echoes ring.
Look! The blast has frightened back our attackers. They retreat a little distance, wondering.
Aye, but Oliver, tell us now. What can we do for you till Charlemagne comes? Oh, it is my pride that has done this, my pride that would not let me blow the horn.
Do not blame yourself, old friend. I die as I would die, fighting by your side.
No, you'll not die, Oliver. Charlemagne will come.
What my heart tells me, too late.
Look out, Roland, riding up on you from behind.
Oh, they return. All right, then I die beside my friend. I die with Oliver, for Charlemagne, for France.
Ganelon, do you hear a horn?
A horn, sire? Why, yes, faintly.
It's Roland. Roland is calling for help.
Oh, why, sire, preposterous. Ridiculous.
That's Roland's horn. I'd know it anywhere. He's back in the mountains, in danger.
Oh, sire, you are mistaken. He blows for sport.
You lie, Ganelon. You lie, and your life shall be forfeit. But now... Knights of Charlemagne, turn back at once and ride, ride as you never rode before. Roland calls for help.
But alas, though Charlemagne and his knights ride like the wind, they come too late. All lie dead in the valley of ambush. Under the green tree lies Oliver. On the hill with his sword Durandal beneath him lies Roland. Charlemagne stands with his white head bent to bid them both farewell.
Roland, rest well, and Oliver too. Never were there such knights as you. Long will the world your story prize, while your souls live on in paradise.